Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Diving ever deeper into the sweet nectarian ocean of Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter number 1, text number 29. Katschit sukham sattvata vrishni bhoja. This is a very small print. Dasha hakanam adita sa aste yam abhyas. Yeah, much easier. That's really not made for old people. Okay. Abhyasinchat.
Abhyasinchat.
Shata. Patra. Netra. Nripa. Asana. Asham. Parihritya durat kachit sukham sattvata vrishni bhoja kachit sukham sattvata vrishni bhoja dasharakhanam madipassa aste Yam abhisins chats chata patra netra. Yam abhisins chats chata patra netra. Nripasana shampari hritta durat. Nripasana shampari hritya durat. Yesterday when I was giving the class in Wiesbaden and I said the verse and everybody responded saying, wow, they're really great learned Sanskrit scholars. And I looked, it was written on the board. I said, well, that's how they're doing it so expertly. Actually, some devotees are able to pick it up, but you know, usually Indian people can do it pretty easily because they're familiar with the sounds. But for us Westerners, it's tough, very tough to pick it up. You know, I have some Indian students. I can do it, and they can just do it very good without any book because it's all familiar sounds to them. Yeah. They grew up with those kind of sounds.
Somewhat understand a little bit what it says.
It's what?
They may also somewhat understand what it says.
That's right. They know that they can figure out what the meaning is also. Yes. That's right. So, I guess I need the English book back now.
They try to check out how fast you can learn German.
They try to check out
how fast you can learn German.
Weather.
Sukham.
Is all well.
Is
all well. Sattvata. The Sattvata race. Vrishni, the Vrishni dynasty. Bhoja, the Bhoja dynasty. Dasharha Kanam. The Dasharha race. Adipa. King Ugrasena. Saha. He. Aste. Does exist. Yam. Whom. Abhasinchat. Installed. Shatapatra Naitra. Lord Shri Krishna. Nripa Asana Asam.
Hope of the royal throne.
Parihritya.
Giving up.
Durat.
At a distant place.
Oh, my friend, tell me whether Ugrasena, the king of these Tatvatas, Vishnis, Bhojas, and Dasharhas, is now doing well. He went far away from his kingdom, leaving aside all hopes of his royal throne, but Lord Krishna again installed him. Om Ajnana Timaranda Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Tell me whether Ugrasena, the king of these Tatvatas, Vishnis, Bhojas, and Dasharhas, is now doing well. He went far away from his kingdom, leaving aside all hopes of his royal throne, but Lord Krishna again installed him. Om Ajnana Timaranda Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, there's an interesting concept here being presented in this verse about King Ugrasena, that he went far away from his kingdom, leaving aside all hopes of his royal throne, but Lord Krishna again installed him. So here we see someone who has said, okay, I renounce it, walking away from the whole thing. But then Krishna gives it to him. It's a very interesting concept. Presently, we are infected with the false sense of proprietorship. And along with that false sense of proprietorship comes the false spirit of enjoyment. If I am thinking I am the owner of something, then I am also thinking that I am the enjoyer of that thing. This mentality of being the owner we see even in a small child. They will say, mine. Very emphatically they will assert when they're playing with their friends, mine. This is mine. So this mentality of this false mentality of possessing things. From the tender age of little children, we have had this infection of the heart. And because of that, we want to enjoy that which we think that we possess. So this spirit has to be given up. This is the cause of our misery. This false sense of enjoyment based on the false sense of proprietorship is the cause of all misery. We have to give this up. Prabhupada gives a very nice example, Bank of America. Somebody walks into the Bank of America with a gun to rob the bank. Is In Texas, actually, we had a whole string of robberies for many years. There was a famous robber called Dapper Dan. He would come into the bank with a very nice business suit, wingtip shoes, and a very nice attaché case and a silver pistol. And he would rob the banks in style. And he was famous, Dapper Dan, got another bank. Actually, they caught him, finally. They caught him at a traffic light, and he put the gun in his mouth and pulled the trigger. And they finally caught him. He would always hotwire a real late-model sports car. He did everything very in style. So he went on with this false sense of enjoyment for some time until one day they finally caught him at the stoplight after he robbed the bank. And he had no way to escape. There was traffic in front of him. So he just put a gun to his head and pulled the trigger. Translation required? So, we may try to enjoy like Dapper Dan. In a very in grand style, try to be the enjoyer of this material world and think that we're actually getting away with it for some time. But it will not work. And the other example is given of the man who walks into the bank and he says, "I renounce this bank." So this is called madman prophecy. He's a madman because it's not his bank. How he can renounce that which does not belong to him? If I say I want to enjoy this world, then I am a thief because it is not my property. And if I say, oh, I'm very spiritually advanced, I renounce this world. But it will not work. And the other example is given of the man who walks into the bank and he says, I renounce this bank. So this is called madman prophecy. He's a madman because it's not his bank. How he can renounce that which does not belong to him? If I say I want to enjoy this world, then I am a thief because it is not my property. And if I say, oh, I'm very spiritually advanced, I renounce this world. You see? That is called insanity. Because it is your world to renounce. So both positions, bhog and tyag, they are false positions. Wanting to be the enjoyer of a false position, wanting to be the renouncer, that is also a false position. You understand? Does he understand? You're giving him any translation? Nothing. So both are false positions. So we should not try to be the enjoyer, nor should we try to be the renouncer. In the sense of walking away from it. We should actually take the position of being someone who engages that in Krishna service.
Sorry.
Sometimes people have this this conception that just like we told one lady wanted to offer in our world tour, she wanted to offer us transportation from Delhi to Vrindavan. And we said, well, but do you have a luggage rack? Because we're carrying Radha-damodara, we have all kinds of deity paraphernalia, and we also have a TV show, I'm carrying, you know, filming equipment. You know, we have a weekly TV show in Texas on Krishna consciousness. So we have, you know, we require a little extra luggage for TV show and for deity worship. So when she said we need a luggage rack, she said, you know, what kind of... She was thinking, well, I thought you were sannyasis. You know, how do you need a luggage rack if you're sannyasis? So this is a conception of renunciation. That how you could possibly be... You must have some non-sannyasi types who are traveling with you, she was thinking. And how is it possible, you know, that... So people have this conception that to be renounced means that, you know, you just walk away from everything. But that is called phagu vairagya in Sanskrit language. The word Pagu also refers to an underground river. It is not visible on the surface, but beneath that, the surface of the earth, it is hidden. So someone may make a show of being very renounced, but within the heart they have all lusty desires in their heart. So to make a show of being renounced by saying, you know, I don't touch anything material. I touch no one and no one touches me. You see, I am renounced. But somebody, so the actual vairagya that is called by Rupa Goswami is yukta vairagya, you see. That yukta vairagya means you engage everything in the service of Krishna. So a devotee, therefore, is very greedy to accumulate or to gather more things that can be used for Krishna. He wants more money, he wants more facilities, he wants more followers. We want more followers of this Krishna consciousness movement, you see. Prabhupada is very, very eager and happy to see more and more followers coming, more and more money coming, more and more facilities coming. He wasn't thinking, oh, I'm renounced, I can't deal with any, with men and followers and money and so many things coming. I cannot deal, I just renounced. No. Everything is used for Krishna. Our mission is we want to engage the entire world in Krishna consciousness. Actually, Srila Prabhupada told us, he said, that presently the world is being managed by rogues and demons. He says, now you make your life successful and you take the management. Can you imagine what Prabhupada has told us to do? Prabhupada has told us to take the management of the entire planet. What to speak of Germany, the whole Earth planet. He wants that the devotees should actually be the world leaders on this planet, not just within our own little, you know, movement. He wants that this movement should become established as the leading institution on this planet. You see? The ISKCON brahmanas and sannyasis will actually be management consultants for the world leaders. And how to run your country, how to run Germany, how to run France, how to run England, how to run the USA. You see, the Brahmins, sannyasis of ISKCON will be management consultants, that everyone will come to us wanting to know how we should engage our country in Krishna's service. How can the President Bush will come and say, you know, the GBC, how can I make America Krishna conscious? Please guide me. You see, that is renunciation. That is the renunciation of Rupa Goswami, to engage everything in the service of Krishna. Not to think, oh, I renounce this world, I'm just going to go into the Himalayas and forget everything about this material world. That is for the Mayavadis. You see, they cannot deal with the material nature. But the Vaishnava, he sees everything as the energy of Krishna meant to be engaged in Krishna's service. Prabhupada explains that a Krishna conscious businessman, he can aspire to be the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. You see? He can actually aspire to defeat Bill Gates in business. Krishna conscious businessman. So we do not artificially give up this material nature. We see everything as the energy of Krishna and everything meant to be used in his service. We see the example of Vishvamrita Muni, you see. He was a very powerful yogi. He had gone all the way through the eightfold Ashtanga system, Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pratyahara, Pranayama, all through the stages. He had gone up, up, up. He got all the way to Samadhi. He came to the yogic position of Samadhi. And he became very, very powerful. All mystic powers were coming to him. So Indraday became very scared that what will happen, this yogi, he will kick me out of my position as the king of heaven. He'll become so powerful, I will lose my position, so let me save myself. I will send one of my beautiful maidens, celestial maidens there, So he sent that Menaka there, and as soon as Vishwamitra heard the sound of her ankle bells, immediately he came out of his meditation. He gave up his yogic perfection to enjoy with Menaka sexual union, and all of his austerities were finished. So those who simply try to renounce this world, they can easily be overwhelmed by the sound of a woman's ankle bells. But one who engages everything in Krishna's service, just like Prabhupada engaged so many women in the service of Krishna, and he was never disturbed. So many beautiful women came and surrendered to Prabhupada's lotus feet. He engaged them in Krishna's service with no attachment, no attraction, just everything for Krishna's pleasure. So this is the perfection. We have to see everything is for the enjoyment of Krishna. Everything is meant to be used in his service. If we're in this mood, in this consciousness, we will never fall down. But as soon as there is the slight tinge of a desire to enjoy for ourselves, you see, then we are flirting with Maya. We are flirting with disaster. Even the slight tinge of a desire to enjoy for ourselves can destroy everything. One little tiny pinch of cancer in your body can gradually grow and destroy everything. So the enjoying spirit, that is a cancer. Aham bhogi, I am the enjoyer, it is a cancer. So we can enjoy. That is all right, but we have to enjoy secondarily. Krishna is the primary enjoyer, and we are secondary enjoyer. We have to make sure that everything we do is for Krishna's enjoyment, and then our enjoyment will automatically be there. We will not enjoy any less. Actually, we will enjoy more by simply engaging everything in Krishna's service. We will enjoy millions of times more. An intelligent person realizes, why should I take some paltry little 10th class enjoyment for myself when I can enjoy unlimited pleasure by offering everything to Krishna? Only a fool, would not take up such a program known as Krishna consciousness. You see, any intelligent person with even 1/10 of a brain would take up Krishna consciousness. So there's some hope for us. There's hope for us. So anyway, we have to understand what is actual renunciation. And just as here Rudra Sen is described as having left his kingdom, Krishna gave it back to him, we simply have to give up this false conception of being the enjoyer, and then Krishna will give us enjoyment beyond our wildest dreams. That'll be the result. So, are there any questions? Any disagreements? Any challenges? Yes.
Actually, anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness, who has some kind of contact with Krishna consciousness, even for the first time or by accident, they actually experience this very point immediately. They may not realize it, or they may not be able to put it into words. But the first effect is that when we come into contact with Krishna consciousness, whatever burden, whatever difficulties and knots and problems and confusion there is being taken away for that time, you know, at first when you come. And you actually, for the first time, anyone who comes actually enjoys it for the first time. Really.
Yes, that's
because
right.
Because in this atmosphere, this burden, this karmic burden, is temporarily being alleviated, and for the first time, he's actually able to feel himself, enjoy himself purely.
That's right.
And feel complete happiness
yes.
with this. And this experience is actually exactly what you're saying. It's just that because you're a newcomer, you may not be able to put it into words or realize this. Mm-hmm. But this is what you feel. And this is why people in general, they're completely in ecstasy about such a program and go home with a completely new feeling and want to come back.
Yes, yes.
Because of this very fact that for the first time they are able to enjoy themselves to the maximum.
Yes, yes.
Without taking the burden on themselves and without being the enjoyers.
That's right. That's right. The spirit soul is by nature full of bliss. Right now, the only reason we're miserable is we're in a dream state, dreaming in this body, and the body is subject to misery, is inescapably being punished by the modes of nature. So, as soon as we come to the, even a slight little tinge of Krishna consciousness can give us so much nectar, even in the very beginning. That's right. It's like a fish, as soon as you put him back in the water, he's happy. On a land, he cannot be happy. As soon as he's touched the water, immediately he's swimming around in bliss. So as soon as we come in contact with Krishna consciousness, immediately we become happy. That is the natural result. Bright-faced, Prabhupada always said. Questions more? Or comments more? If that's it, we can stop here. We thank you very much for your kindly allowing us to be in your presence, to purify us of our contaminated hearts.
Thank you for taking of your precious time to spend your time, let's say, maybe not waste your time with us fallen nobodies.
Nobodies.
Well, we've been very blessed. We're just beggars begging for some few scraps of mercy from the Vaishnavas. So you very kindly allowed us some of your mercies. So there's some hope for us to escape this vicious cycle of birth and death.
It's a give and take arrangement. Prabhupada, it's a wonderful arrangement.
It's all Prabhupada's mercy. He's created this Sangha, the Vaishnava Sangha, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to where we can go anywhere in the world and get the mercy of Krishna by the association of the devotees. It's a nice thing. It's so sweet.
And as far as I understand, is that when two devotees come together, it's not that they're just two persons, and then it's hochgerechnet, wie sagt man das auf Englisch? Do you know what I'm saying? Usually when you have two persons, one and one is two.
Yeah.
But amongst devotees is not one devotee and one devotee, is two devotees, and one devotee and one devotee is mathematically high.
That's right. I've been preaching the same. You and I have a lot of the same realizations, Mataji.
Yeah.
I've been preaching the same thing. It's called synergy. That, usually 1 plus 1 equals 2, but you take two devotees, depending on their level of advancement, but actually 1 plus 1 can potentially equal infinity. The synergy of even two devotees working together cooperatively can be unlimited, because Krishna can act through those devotees. It's a fact. 1 plus 1 equals infinity. Yeah. At least they can equal 3, or 4, or 5, or 10, or 1,000,000. Anything else? If not, we'll stop here. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.